If you plant a seed from a grocery store bell pepper today, you are not planting a garden, you are planting a ticking time bomb of wasted labor. It looks perfect, it's glossy, it's firm, but it is a genetic thief. This fruit was designed by a multi-billion dollar corporation to be the end of its own lineage. It is a biological dead end, a ghost in a shiny red shell that will lure you into spending 4 months of your life, gallons of your water, and the sweat of your brow, only to yield a harvest that looks like a shriveled mutation of the original. You are being robbed of your self-sufficiency before you even pick up a trowel, and the thief is sitting right there in your crisper drawer. This is the zero-cost seed bank strategy, and if you don't know how to spot the genetic thief, your homestead is already failing. 3 years ago, late July, I am standing in the middle of what should be a wall of heirloom slicing tomatoes. I have spent 4 months nursing these seedlings. I have amended the soil with aged rabbit manure. I have timed the irrigation to the minute. But as the first clusters begin to ripen, I realize something is horribly wrong. The fruit isn't ripening to that deep ruby red I expected. Instead, they are pale, tough, and taste like wet cardboard. I had fallen for the trap, thinking I was outsmarting the system by saving seeds from a beautiful grocery store tomato, only to realize I had spent an entire growing season cultivating a sterile, flavorless ghost. That season didn't just cost me the harvest, it cost me the trust in my own soil. I watched 60 plants, hundreds of pounds of potential food, rot on the vine because I didn't know how to identify the genetic thief. Before we get into the mechanics of high yield, zero cost seed saving, I need you to look for a very specific garden ghost. Next time you are out in your rows, look at the very first true leaves of your seedlings. If you see a tiny, silvery etching that looks like a map of a river, but there are no bugs present, stop everything. That silver map is a hidden signal in the soil that most people ignore, thinking it's just a variegated leaf. It isn't. It is a warning, a message from the ecosystem that we are going to decode at the very end of this session. For now, just remember the silver river. The farm fresh way isn't just about putting seeds in dirt. It's about a fundamental shift in how we view the cycle of life. Big Ag wants you to believe that seeds are a technology, something you have to license, something that expires. They have spent decades breeding the genetic thief into our food supply, plants that are designed to be one and done. They want you coming back to the store every March, wallet open, buying their F1 hybrids that are chemically dependent on synthetic fertilizers. When you transition to a homesteading intuition, you start to see that a single tomato isn't just a snack. It's a biological hard drive containing 10,000 lines of code. But here is the war story no one tells you. If you save seeds from a standard supermarket hybrid, you aren't getting the plant you ate. You are getting a genetic throwback to one of its parents, which might have been bred for shelf life, not flavor, or for machine harvesting, not your kitchen table. You are essentially inviting a thief into your garden to steal your time and your compost. The smell of crushed tomato leaves on a humid afternoon, that sharp, green, almost peppery scent that sticks to your skin, that is the smell of a real garden. It's a weight in the air, a thickness that tells you the plants are breathing. When you hold a real heirloom fruit in your hand, you can feel the tension in the skin, the give of the flesh that promises a juice so rich it'll stain your chin. This is a sensory reality the grocery store cannot replicate. To beat the genetic thief, you have to understand the difference between an open-pollinated variety and a hybrid. When you walk into the grocery store, 90% of what you see is a hybrid. It's a cross between two different parents to create a specific result. But those seeds, they don't run true. If you plant them, you get the genetic thief. However, if you look for the organic section, or better yet, the ethnic markets, you can find the true ancestors. These are the plants that haven't been lobotomized by corporate breeding. I remember a neighbor, Old Man Miller, who lived 3 miles down the creek. He never bought a seed in 40 years. He used to say, "If the seed don't know who its mama is, it won't know how to feed you." He was right. He practiced a protein-rich seed-saving method, using nothing but fermented water and sunshine. He would take the seeds from the best, ugliest, most overripe fruit and let them sit in a jar of their own juice until a layer of white mold formed on top. To a beginner, it looks like a disaster. To a pro, that mold is the key that unlocks the seed's germination by eating away the growth-inhibiting coating. Let's talk about the tactical deep dive of the store-bought seed bank. You want to look for dry-seeded crops first, things like dried beans, peas, and even popcorn. If you buy a bag of organic black beans from the bulk aisle, you aren't just buying soup, you are buying 500 potential plants. The war story here is the heat treat trap. Many commercial packers flash heat their grains to kill bugs, which also kills the embryo of the seed. To test your zero-cost bank, take 10 beans, wrap them in a damp paper towel, and put them on top of your refrigerator. If fewer than 7 sprout in 5 days, that batch has been thieved. The genetic thief also loves the cucurbit family, your squash, cucumbers, and melons. If you save seeds from a store-bought butternut squash, you might end up with a runt of the litter plant that produces fruit with skin so hard you'd need a chainsaw to open it. This is because those large-scale farms grow different varieties side by side and the bees cross-pollinate them. You think you're planting a squash, but you're actually planting a mystery mutant that will suck the nutrients out of your soil for zero reward. Imagine the snap of a sugar snap pea, that crystalline sound when the pod breaks, revealing those tiny, bright green pearls. That sound is the frequency of health. It's the sound of a plant that has everything it needs. When you walk through your rows and you hear that, you know the genetic thief hasn't touched your land. You can feel the coolness of the morning dew on your shins as you walk between the rows, the sun just beginning to burn through the fog. The world is quiet except for the sound of your own boots on the mulch. The secret to a truly water-independent homestead is selecting the seeds that survived your worst days. If you have a row of tomatoes and one plant thrives while the others wilt during a dry spell, that is your golden parent. You save those seeds. Over 5 years, you are literally programming your garden to survive your specific microclimate. This is how you move from being a hobbyist to a harvester. You are no longer buying a garden, you are growing a legacy. But be warned, there is a high-stakes failure waiting for those who ignore the genetic thief's cousins. I have seen entire communities lose their seed independence because they allowed volunteer squash to grow near their true ancestors. The cross-pollination happens in a heartbeat, a single bee flight, and your seed bank is corrupted. You must be ruthless. If a plant shows the wrong traits, you pull it. You don't wait and see. Waiting is how the thief wins. Now, let's talk about that garden ghost. I told you to look for the silver etching on the leaves, that map of a river that appears when no bugs are around. That signal is the cadmium clue. It means your soil is high density in heavy metals, or, more likely, it's locked out of phosphorus because of an imbalance in your water's pH. The ghost is telling you that while your seeds might be pure, your foundation is toxic. If you see the silver river, you don't need more fertilizer, you need fool's gold, or what we call raw wood ash, to swing the chemistry back to neutral. If you ignore the silver river, the genetic thief won't even need to steal your harvest. The soil will just refuse to give it to you. The vision of a self-sustaining life isn't just a full pantry, it's the peace of mind knowing that if the supply chain snapped tomorrow, your backyard is a living bank that never closes its doors. You become the master signal of your own ecosystem. You aren't just a consumer. You are a curator of life. There is a visceral power in the black gold soil, the deep, earthy musk of decaying organic matter turning into nutrients. When you sink your hands into a bed that has been built over years of zero-cost strategies, the soil feels alive. It's spongy, it's cool, and it has a thrum to it that you can almost feel in your bones. We have reached a fork in the road of modern gardening. Some believe we should embrace the genetic thief, using high-tech lab-grown hybrids that require constant chemical intervention because they produce higher yields in the short term. Others believe we must return to the true ancestors, accepting smaller harvests occasionally in exchange for total seed independence and soil health. So I have to ask you, and I want you to be honest in the comments. Is the genetic thief a necessary evil to feed a hungry world, or is it a corporate weapon designed to destroy our last shred of independence? Let's settle this right now. Is it progress or is it a trap?